Late one Christmas day, a man from a high-class community of Hillsboro, California, accompanied by his wife and children, set out to sing carols for their neighbors. As they were tuning up outside their first stop, the woman of the house came to the door, looking distraught. "Look, fella," she said, "I'm just too busy. The plumbing is on the blink. I can't get anybody to fix it. And there's a mob coming for dinner. If you really like singing Christmas carols, come back at about 9 o'clock, okay?" "Yes, ma'am," replied Bing Crosby, respectfully, as he herded his troop elsewhere. Wow, what a missed opportunity for the woman of the house. Little did she know that she was turning away the voice of a famous crooner, a famous singer with an amazing voice that just about anyone would have died to have shown up at their door to sing. Can you imagine rejecting Bing Crosby and the opportunity to be his private audience? With what you know about Jesus, can you imagine anyone rejecting him? And yet, he was. We read here that he, in fact, was rejected by the people in his own hometown. Ouch. Today's scripture takes place shortly after Jesus called his disciples. And this story, in fact, is recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. However, there are some differences, as there usually is. Only Mark and Luke include the detail that Jesus' teaching in the synagogue occurred on the Sabbath. Only Luke locates Jesus' teaching in his hometown of Nazareth. And only Luke cites Isaiah 61 as the passage not only from which Jesus read, but also applied to himself. In Mark and Matthew, the crowd identifies Jesus as the local carpenter and lists the names of his parents, Mark mentioning only Mary, as well as his siblings. The crowd in Luke identifies him only as Joseph's son, while Luke is the only gospel in which Jesus quotes the proverb, "Doctor, cure yourself." All of the synoptics attribute to Jesus the saying about a prophet not being welcome in his own country and among his own kin. Another difference pertains to Jesus' ability to perform miracles. While Matthew states that Jesus could not do many works in that place because of the people's unbelief, Mark says he couldn't do any mighty works there except that he healed a few sick people through the laying on of hands. Apparently, healing the sick was not a particularly spectacular miracle for Jesus, according to Mark. This is a story of rejection that these gospel writers considered very significant to pass along to us. So let's move on now to uncover the very lessons that Mark wants us to learn from Jesus' example. While Jesus was in the town, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and began to teach. The scripture tells us that the townspeople were amazed by his teaching. We might conclude that if they were amazed, they were pleased with what he was saying. And maybe they were. But there was apparently something that really bothered them. The scripture tells us that the townspeople talked among themselves about their memories of who Jesus was and what he did. They remembered him as a carpenter's son who learned his father's trade and served the community also with this trade. Now, the Greek word for carpenter used here is tekton. And tekton does mean a worker in wood, but it means more than merely a woodworker or cabinet maker. We hear lots of people tell us Jesus was a cabinet maker, following his father as a cabinet maker, but he was more than that. It means that he was a craftsman. A craftsman would build you anything from, well, a chicken coop to a house. He was the kind of man who could build a wall, amend a roof, repair a gate. The craftsman was a handyman who, with few or no instruments and the simplest of tools, could do any job. This is what Jesus did. This is how the hometown crowd knew him. This is exactly then why the people did not appreciate him. He was a common working man, a layman. And here he was, teaching them as though he was some much respected rabbi. The people of Nazareth despised him because they only knew him as a common working man. Today, we view Jesus' simple life, his humanity, as a reason to respect and to honor him. We know him as Emmanuel, God with us. He took upon himself the common life with all its common tasks. He did not excuse himself from the hardships of everyday life. But this is not how the people of Nazareth viewed him. They instead wondered something like, what right, what authority does this simple man, Jesus, have to teach us about these godly matters? A caution arises for us here to beware of judging a book by its cover, as the saying goes. Our perceptions may be misguided and result in causing to be closed-minded, kind of like that closed sport bottle here, not ready to receive any water into it. This is not the first time the scriptures give us this warning, but it is a difficult lesson, isn't it, to put into practice sometimes. Likewise, we may find ourselves on the receiving end of false judgment and misguided perceptions, resulting in unfair rejection. That hurts, doesn't it? We also find in this text that Mark identifies Jesus as Mary's son. This indicates, as some theologians presume, that Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, died at a young age. Mark also names Jesus' younger male siblings, but he mentions also the girls. We know that Jesus only began his ministry when he was 30 years old. And perhaps the reason for this late start could be that he filled his father's shoes by caring and supporting his mother and his siblings until they were old enough to fend for themselves, before he actually ventured out on his own to do God's work. With Jesus living and working in the community for 30 years, the townspeople became quite familiar with who he was and what he did. This familiarity with Jesus was likely another reason the people rejected him. You see, sometimes when familiarity, it's a hard word for me to say, should generate respect, it generates instead an easygoing, a relaxed familiarity. And sometimes we grow too close to people that we are unable or unwilling to see their greatness or accept the changes that take place in this person's life. Oh, you know the saying. The more things, or in this case, the more a person changes, the more people seem to be unwilling to accept change. The rejection of Jesus in Nazareth was very personal, as you can hear from these reasons. Like Jesus, all of us has experienced some kind of rejection. And my friends, if you haven't experienced any rejection, how fortunate you are. But I fear that sometime in the future you may. So listen closely to what Jesus does. None of us likes being rejected. Rejection doesn't feel good, especially when we are rejected by our own family members and friends. But even as Jesus' rejection was very personal, also rejected then was the very message he had to bring to them, both in word and through acts of power, the scripture tells us. Unfortunately, he was only able to heal a few of the sick. Otherwise, his hands were tied. Where there is no openness, where there is no willingness to hear the word of God, to receive the acts of the love of God, there is no possibility of giving them away. Therefore, what we find in this story is that the rejection of Jesus made it impossible for the people of Nazareth to receive all that God had to offer them through Jesus. And likewise, when we are rejected, it is not only our person that is rejected, but also what we have to offer that gets rejected. What are we to do with this rejection? How are we to respond to it? I've experienced rejection. I was never popular in school. I never fit in with the people who were popular, even though I tried. I experienced very hurtful rejection from some of my members of my Amish family, leaving me to this day with an empty hole inside of me, knowing that I've got this large family. I've got 90 cousins out there somewhere, and I'll never know most of them. Probably about 85 of them I'll never know. That hurts. That's emptiness. But perhaps the most hurtful rejection that I experienced was inflicted when I, a woman, interviewed for senior pastoral positions in several congregations and was rejected because I am a woman. A misguided interpretation of scripture, which, my friends, that's another sermon we'll get to maybe someday, I don't know. One congregation was so bold as to send me a letter stating clearly this very reason for their unwillingness to even meet with me. I was also told that I was too expensive, and they never gave me an opportunity even to negotiate with them. That tells me something else. That wasn't the real reason. And I apparently was too old for another congregation, and that was 10 years ago. All of these reasons were directed towards my being. They had nothing to do with my skills. I never even got a chance to show them my skills. But at the same time, the gifts and the message, the good news of a living God in our word, in our world, who loves and accepts us, this message that I had to offer these congregations
was also rejected.
I nearly gave up. Eventually, I accepted the call in a slightly different ministry to serve as chaplain at Farnakiti. But I questioned myself and what I felt called to do. I asked God about why I was being rejected. I mean, I don't know what they told me, but if God wanted me to do this, why wasn't I doing it? Why was what I felt He wanted to do and say through me being rejected? Fortunately, I did not give up. And here I am. Now the disciples, watching the rejection of Jesus unfold before their very eyes, must have been bewildered. After this happened, Jesus commissioned them to go out into groups of two. And the scripture tells us He gave them authority over unclean spirits, and they did many wonderful things. But knowing what they had just witnessed in Nazareth, He sent them with a warning that they too would likely experience rejection. They were to go with this awareness, and they were to go empty-handed. And that says to me they were to go with no expectations. No expectations, because not every place would be ready for what they had to share. Some would reject them even before they said a word. And when this happened, what were they supposed to do? They were to shake the dust off of their feet and walk away. They were to move on to the next place and the next, never giving up their effort to be and do what God created them to be and do. Brothers and sisters, how do you respond to rejection? Jesus tells us to be faithful to Him and to who God created us to be. I want you to hear that again, because that second part is really important too. Jesus tells us to be faithful to Him and to who God created you to be. We should not allow rejection to reshape us into miserable, broken people, nor should we abandon the path we walk daily as we follow Jesus. Jesus says, shake it off. That's what Jesus did. He didn't stick around in His hometown to try to convince the people to like and accept Him. He didn't take their unfavorable words and actions personally. He just left town. It was a young salesman who became discouraged because he had been rejected by so many customers he approached. I wouldn't want to be a salesman, especially one of those phone calling ones, you know? Click, click, click. He asked a more experienced salesman for some advice. Why is it that every time I make a call on someone, I get rejected? I don't just understand that, answered the older salesman. I've been hit in the head, called dirty names, and thrown out the door, but I've never been rejected. Perhaps rejection isn't always what happens to us, but how we interpret what happens to us. I know what you're thinking. This all sounds really easier said than done. Most of us want everyone to like us. We would sometimes rather try continuously to make people like us. I get that. But that's not what Jesus said we should do. And yes, shaking the dust off our feet and walking away sounds so final, doesn't it? And it is, in a way. Unless, and we pray for this, that a door opens to us at another point in time when we will be received. I believe God feels your pain when you are rejected. Sometimes we are simply living our lives according to God's will. And sometimes it happens as you are making a specific effort to minister to someone through words or deeds. But in both cases, not only are you being rejected, but so is God. God who lives in and through you. Oh, remain faithful, brothers and sisters. Follow the example of Jesus. Pray for and continue to love those who reject you. Who knows? One day, things may turn around. Amen.